Again, we'll be looking at our Bibles where we left off last time in the book of John in the third chapter, and basically we're reading and trying to look at verse 18 and following, the last section of the Lord's discourse here. And instruction both in Nicodemus and to us, and there's been a lot here. And we have departed somewhat from the text, but looking at the text more closely, because we have seen these verses speak to us about the importance and the necessity of belief or faith. And just as we looked at the word world, and as we looked at the word perishing, in order to get a better understanding of this passage and all the passages of Scripture that speak about faith, we were looking at the elements, and we'll say classically, as we approach the faith and as we understand faith, or the words of our Lord Jesus, or the words of any of the other ones in the New Testament, the apostles were instructed by the Holy Spirit to declare and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And certainly as we looked at Romans chapter 10, there are three classic elements to faith. And unless we perceive and understand them, we might not understand some of the things that we read in the Bible. For instance, we wouldn't understand fully what the Lord is telling us in the parable of the seed and the sower, as three different groups, two which tell us believe, but after time has come, their faith is choked up, and they no longer have that faith. And of course, we read, and we'll read later on in the book of John, that those who believe, and it will tell us, they believe. They saw Jesus and the miracles that he did. They heard his words, and they said, no one ever taught like this before. And it was novel to them. It was special to them, since they believed. But then, in a verse or two later, in the context, we'll see that those same people who are identified as believers depart from the Lord when he goes on to instruct them particularly about their sin and their need of salvation and the fact of his own, of the necessity of his own death to bring in the glorious kingdom of light and life, the gospel. And of course, how do we understand the scripture that reminds us that the devils believe? The scriptures do not suggest that the devils have saving faith. They know the truth. And of course, one of the things we have seen is the foundation of all this, of the first, without which the Lord does not bring him to himself, is knowledge. Knowledge is required, but right knowledge, true knowledge, saving knowledge that God gives him of himself and the truth of what he is doing principally through the Lord Jesus Christ. And he uses the Word of God in providing that knowledge of himself and his will and his redemptive character. Now, the devils believe, meaning they know. They know there's one God. And they know the facts that God created and God sustains. And the Lord Jesus Christ is the only Redeemer of God's elect. But they don't have a saving knowledge. They don't have the other two elements that are necessary and that God has ordained to apply to us that redemptive work. And we read over in Romans 10:19, very important word, where it reminds us that we call upon the name of the Lord by faith, which is a gift of God's grace, will be saved. And faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The book of James reminds us in the first chapter, when we studied the book of James, I certainly pointed that out in verse 18, speaking about our salvation and all of God's people, speaking about what God has done. It says, of his own will. That is the will of God, the purpose of God. By his own will, he saved us with the word of truth. So the knowledge that we hear is what God has spoken. And the knowledge that we hear is the word of God. He uses the word of God to bring us to faith. The old Heidelberg Catechism, number 21, defines saving faith from Scripture, a certain knowledge whereby I hold for true all that God has revealed to us in his word. Now, see, there's more involved in that than just knowing facts, and the facts related to the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Westminster Confession takes that same thing. I pointed out that many times, and this is an important statement. It says, by faith a Christian, a believer, the one who is exercising that saving faith, a Christian believeth to be true whatsoever is revealed in his word, God's word, for the authority of God himself speaking therein. In other words, the Bible is the word of God, and we recognize that, but we recognize that differently, say, than the devil. We recognize that differently than those who saw the miracles that Jesus did and expected to receive some outward benefits from it. We do it even differently, say, than the modernists or the liberals, who might study Scripture, different than the Pharisees. The Pharisees knew their Old Testament and could cite things, and they might have known some of the Old Testament better than some of those that they ministered to in the general public. And the modernists can know the facts and quote and tell you all about the kings of Israel. He could give you the order of creation and the things that were done. He might know the Psalms, and the Psalms might have some personal meaning to him, Psalm 23 and others. He might even know some of the Gospels. And he might say, this is what, he might be honest enough and say, this is what the Bible teaches. But there's a difference that his knowledge and the knowledge of true faith. And the difference, of course, is basic to what we've been preaching on and dealing with, and Jesus been speaking of here in this third chapter of John. The difference being is the work of the Holy Spirit. The truth is the truth, and it's absolute. Now, today there's a very subtle and deliberate and deceptive use of the term truth. We started to hear it a number of years ago when people would do interviews or talk about their experience, and they would say, now you tell me your truth. You tell me your truth. And they could have two or more, they could have dozens of people all telling you about their experience or what they thought of this or that. And really what they're doing is asking for their opinion. And instead of having everybody on the same page telling you the truth. They are giving their opinions to what they think the truth is. It's subtle. It's subtle. Because no one believes, even the mainline church today, the Protestant church doesn't believe the truth is absolute. The truth never changes because God never changes. So the truth is everything that He has said. And we take the Bible as it is. It's the truth of God. Now to the devils or the demons or to the modernists who might even say, well, this is what the Bible has taught, but, you know, we really don't follow the Bible. We've changed. We've moved on to a new time, a new age, a new understanding. I had on the bulletin board for some time now, it's been over a year. I don't know if it's still there. Yeah, it's still there. What one of the bishops said in the Methodist Church, and really to paraphrase it, you could read it, that we don't take the scripture alone, which was a great solo and theme of the Reformation, Protestant Reformation, and certainly is found in scripture, scripture alone as our standard. We take the tradition of men, we take reasoning, we take all these cultural changes and we blend them all together to decide really what truth is. So what the church believed in the 1600s is not what we believe today. We'll even recognize that, but we have moved on. We have moved on. But God is the author of truth. And since He is not a man that He should lie, anything that He says by His authority is true. And that's why we receive the Word of God. So it's not only that we have the right knowledge, but we also have to have the right understanding of that knowledge. And someone who is a Christian, someone who is born again, someone who's been regenerated, those who come to faith and exercise faith are different as far as the knowledge. The basic knowledge of Scripture is. Because the Bible says a natural man, apart from the Spirit of God, he really won't understand that knowledge, receive that knowledge, and be able to act on that knowledge. That only comes through the saving work of the Holy Spirit. There's another interesting passage of Scripture, and again, when we were over in Thessalonians, I spoke upon it, but in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 10 through 13, it's very interesting to see how the Holy Spirit, who Paul uses that idea of truth, and he's speaking about the cunning work of Satan. As he comes with his lies. In verse 10, and it tells us, and with all deceitfulness of unrighteousness in them that perish, those who aren't believing and those who aren't going to heaven, they're not trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ, but the opposite, they're in the judgment, under the judgment of God, because, notice, they receive not the love of the truth. If you believe the truth, you'll love the truth. And then it goes on. And you'll rely on the truth that they might be saved. For this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe not the truth, but a lie. Then we go on. That they all might be damned who believe not the truth. So you have to believe the truth in order to be saved. Saving faith demands true belief and true understanding of that right knowledge that's come from God, but have pleasure in unrighteousness. It's an interesting passage of Scripture as it speaks of the truth. And then you go on to verse 13. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you. This is what he's saying in the church at Thessalonica, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you unto salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. But that is only the first part. And it's only been able to be said of those who the Holy Spirit has taken the blindness of their heart away and given them understanding of the truth of the Word of God, that it is true. Every part of it's true. Because of the authority of God who gave it. So that's fundamental. That's primary. That's foundational. But there's a second avenue. There's a second aspect of saving faith. Now again, this is not something I come up with myself. If you read any theological, systematic theology book, or any book about doctrine, anything within the Protestant Reformed community historically, and they say the same thing. There's these three elements. And these elements won't be present upon those who believe and they abandon their faith because they've never been regenerated, but will be present to all those the Holy Spirit has opened their hearts and minds and given them understanding by grace through faith. Remember, faith is an evangelical gift or grace of God, and it will be present. The second is the acknowledgement of that truth. It's the recognition, or they might call it assent. It's active. Assent means you agree with that truth. You affirm that truth. It's the same. Remember way back several weeks ago, I began to read to you that New Testament verse that speaks about Abraham and his wife Sarah and those in the Old Testament. And it didn't only just speak about them, but it speaks about those all in the Old Testament. But certainly there's a direct reference to them in verse 13 of that 11th chapter. That's the chapter of faith. It says they all died in faith. They all died as they lived. In other words, they all believed in God. Abraham believed in the things that God had told him. And whoever prophet in the Old Testament spoke for God, remember, God spoke and revealed himself in diverse ways to the fathers by the prophets, the first verse of Hebrews. And anything that possibly was written down, and they didn't have a lot of the scripture, because Abraham was before Moses, and Moses was the one who wrote to us and recorded for us the Word of God, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Deuteronomy, the first five books of the Bible. Now he did so by hearing what the prophets said. He might have read things that some of the prophets wrote down. We don't know. But certainly he wrote it by the Holy Spirit, that it's true by the authority of God. So here's Abraham, even before Moses, before we had the whole five books of Moses written down. He believed that. And we use those words, which I thought were very important. They all died in faith, not having received the promises. The promises were the promises of Christ yet to come. Now we have that. They've been realized for us in the New Testament. But we still have promises that lie in the future. We're not in heaven right now, and we don't have glorified bodies, as certainly some who have passed in faith have passed into heaven, and they await the time when the Lord returns and eternity begins. So the promise is yet out there. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off by the word of God, by the word of the prophets. They embraced, they were persuaded of them, they embraced them and confessed they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Now that's really that second idea. They believed. They recognized, they affirmed those promises, those truths were just not facts intellectually to recognize on paper in the mind, but they saw in them that which applied to themselves. They were sinners. They came under the wrath and curse of God because of the sin, and they recognized they need the help of God, the intervention of God. They needed the Messiah to come to bring them salvation through his gracious work. They looked forward to it. An act of faith, assenting. They really believed in it personally. They not only believed in it in the way the scripture speaks of assent to it. It's true, whether you believe it or not. But it's true to you. It's true to me. They were persuaded by the Holy Spirit's word. They embrace them. That's the third element. That's the third element of saving faith. It's defined different ways by different people. Sometimes it's implied in the word to trust. It means a heartfelt, not just intellectually, but a whole, your mind, your heart, your emotions, you trusting in it. You are relying in it for your salvation. It's interesting the word that is translated here to embrace is to mean to bring to yourself, to choose it for yourself, to greet it. You know, sometimes you see somebody, you're introduced, and you greet them, you shake their hands. Now, that can be very formal. But here's someone you've heard about. Here's someone you're looking forward to see, looking forward to meeting. Maybe it's a relative, a great friend who you haven't seen for a long time. So the word means to embrace it, to greet it, but to greet it joyfully. Another translation of the root word means to welcome it. The truth, this is truth, and you recognize this is the truth, and it has application for you. But you rejoice in it. I think it's illustrated so beautifully, again, in the book of John, and you can read the context of the study that is found in John chapter 8, verse 56. And our Lord Jesus Christ is really rebuking the Pharisees and the Jews of his own day of relying on their own works or their own ability and thinking by something they can do together or separately they're going to win their way into heaven. And of course the Lord strips them as he does and exposes Nicodemus to the truth that they must be born again by the will of God and power of God through the Holy Spirit, and they must know the truth and acknowledge the truth in saving faith and rejoice in it. Again, he's speaking about Abraham, which is interesting. Here in the 11th chapter, we read about Abraham. By faith, he lived and he died thy faith be persuaded of it and embracing it and confessing it. And Jesus said, your father Abraham. Remember, he rebukes him and says, your father's a devil, your father's an Abraham. Or you would do the things that Abraham taught. And you certainly would have embraced me and recognized me and believed in me to the saving of your soul. He says, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. Now, Abraham was thousands of years before Christ. But he was able to see by the word of truth, by the word of God, that God spoke to Abraham directly or spoke to the other prophets. The word and the promise all evolved around the Lord Jesus Christ. And we know from the New Testament, all the promises of God are yea and amen in Jesus Christ. He knew he had to look forward to one who would come. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he was glad. He greeted those promises. He embraced those promises with joy and reliance and trust, and he rested on those promises for his own salvation. And that's part of the elements, or the saving elements of saving faith. Different than the devils, different than the Jews who sought the Lord because of what they would receive outwardly. And it's beautifully expressed again within our confession, and I'll just read this because they say it so much better than I could say it, and in no sense adding to it. After they say, by faith, a Christian believeth to be true whatsoever is revealed in the word for the authority of God speaking therein, and acting differently upon that which each particular passage thereof containeth, yielding obedience to the commandments, trembling at the threatenings, embracing the promises for life and that which is to come. But the principal acts of saving faith are accepting, receiving, and resting upon Christ alone for justification, sanctification, and eternal life by virtue of the covenant of grace. We receive it. We receive the truth because it is true. We agree with the truth. And by the Holy Spirit, we throw ourselves in reliance upon the truth that Jesus alone, the God alone, through His Son alone, is our only mediator and Savior. And we take rest for our salvation in Him alone. Not in Him plus, not in Him plus the church, not in Him plus our giving, not in Him plus our living, not in Him, but Him alone, trusting alone on Him. We are dependent upon God fully and completely because salvation is of the Lord. And by faith, by the gift, the gracious gift of God's love and mercy and kindness and compassion to us, we're able to embrace Him and rely upon Him, actually believe in Him for the salvation of ourselves. Let us pray.